This Christmas is actually going to be my family's first time spending a Christmas in London. And that's a very exciting thing, right? Because London is probably one of the best places in the world to spend Christmas. But I wonder, where is the strangest place that you have ever spent Christmas? I know some of you have those nightmare stories of, you know, spending either your whole Christmas or at least a good portion of it stuck at the airport. Cancellations, flight delays, and it's a nightmare. You can remember that holiday. Or some of you are in the medical profession. And so perhaps for you, every other year, you're working at the hospital. Some of you have been on deployment overseas for Christmas. So there are a lot of strange places that you can spend Christmas. And yet I wonder how many of us have ever spent Christmas in jail. Spending Christmas at your in-laws does not count. But in our passage, this is a real jail. John the Baptist, he finds himself in jail. And listen, the message of Christmas is on his mind. The message, he's thinking about the Messiah. He's thinking about what he says, the one who is to come. He's thinking about the person of Christmas. And you need to know this, friends, that Matthew 11, this is kind of a strange passage to be thinking about for a carol service. You know, again, maybe this is your first time in church, so you're not sure what to expect. But this is not a traditional Christmas passage because there's no nativity scene here. So you'll notice if you put your eyes on verse 1, we don't hear the cries from the Christ child. The Lord Jesus, he's an adult in this passage. We don't see any angels, any shepherds, any wise men in verse 1. In fact, we're told about 12 disciples. In verse 1, we're not in Bethlehem. We're looking at Jesus in his earthly ministry throughout Galilee. And so this is kind of a strange text to be thinking about for Christmas. And the second reason why this is strange, and it really is the focus of the sermon, it's John's question in verse 3. This is a real bold and really honest question. This question in verse 3, this is more than a theological question. This is more than a philosophical question. This is a question that arises from the depth of John's heart. This is a question that's all about the person of Christmas. Notice what verse 3, Jesus, are you the one? Are you the person of Christmas? Or shall we look for another? See, the person who's saying that is John the Baptist, and he finds himself in jail. And you need to know this, that he's not there because of his own sin. We don't have time to explain, but he's there because of the sin and the injustice of a very powerful man called Herod. And we're not told how long John has been in prison, but my friends, you'll notice that it's long enough for him to start doubting. Jesus, are you the person of Christmas? Are you the Messiah? Maybe you're here this morning and you're kind of scratching your head and thinking, what in the world is a Messiah? Well, let me answer it this way. I wonder if you realize that God is the best storyteller. Did you realize that? That he is the greatest storyteller in history. In the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible, God promises this figure called the Messiah. He's a kingly figure. This is someone who is promised to us. This is someone who will come to end the brokenness of the world. And again, whether you're here this morning and you're a convinced Christian or you're not, wherever you're at, I think we can agree that the world is broken. Turn on the news, walk outside your door, look at a mirror, and you'll know and you'll see that the world is broken. And John, he's an Old Testament prophet, and so he knows the story of the Old Testament. He knows that God is a wonderful storyteller. See, most people, and maybe it's you, but most people think that the God of the Old Testament is this monstrous, capricious deity who's just all about laws. But if that's what you think, then you probably haven't read the Old Testament. Because when you read the Old Testament, you see a God who's telling a wonderful story of mercy and grace and love. In fact, we started off the service by reading Genesis chapter 3. This wonderful ancient story of how sin came into the world. It's a true story of how sin came into our world. And in Genesis chapter 3, it's in that moment that you and I would expect God to show judgment to the world, to come down on Adam and Eve with absolute judgment. And yet the amazing thing in Genesis chapter 3 is that he's so gracious and he's so merciful to sinful people. Do you know what God does? He makes these amazing promises. He says, I'm going to send a person. You might even put it like this. I'm going to send a coming one, a Messiah, someone who's going to bring peace and joy and salvation and life. Someone is coming and they will fix the brokenness of the world. And my friend, the Christmas message, it's so amazing because it makes this wonderful claim that Jesus is that person. But in this passage, John the Baptist is starting to doubt. He's discouraged. He's disillusioned. He's doubting. And you need to realize that this is crazy. Like John the Baptist, this is the last person that you'd expect to be doubting Christmas, to be questioning Christmas. If I can put it to you like this, John is not Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Do you know that famous passage in A Christmas Carol where Scrooge says, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. That's not John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his whole life is about pointing toward Christmas, pointing to the person of Christmas, expecting the person of Christmas. You might put it like this. John is an Advent calendar made flesh. His whole life is about pointing to Jesus. His whole life is about expecting Jesus. It's why all the Gospels say that John is a voice. He's a voice in the wilderness saying, get ready for Jesus. Prepare the way for the Lord. In the Gospels, he's baptizing people. I baptize with water, John says, but there's a coming one who is mightier than me. A Messiah who's going to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. And my friends, I think you would agree that all of us are longing for someone to end what Christians call the ancient curse of sin. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, I don't really believe in sin. But if that's you, then you really have to come up with an explanation as to why there are wars and violence and injustice and the inconsistencies of your own heart. John the Baptist, he knew that there's a savior for our sins, and it's why one day John is at the Jordan River. He's baptizing people. And then he sees something. He actually sees someone and he sees this person getting close. And you know who John sees? John the Baptist sees the incarnate Christ, the incarnate Word, the Word made flesh. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one that I've been talking about. I am a walking Advent calendar. This is the one whom I've been pointing to. Look at him. Trust in him. Follow him. John's whole life was pointing to the Lord Jesus, the person of Christmas. But now he's in jail. And he's doubting. See, here's what's even crazier about John the Baptist and his doubts. Do you realize that even before John is born, he's already preparing the way and he's already joyfully pointing people to Jesus? There's a story in Luke's gospel where an angel comes to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the angel says, listen, I know you're a virgin, but you're about to give birth to God. And Mary is shocked. And yet this woman teaches us a great lesson. that here's Mary getting a word from the angel, getting a word from up above, and Mary receives God's word. And she believes. She believes the promises. She trusts God's promises. And my friends, that's the Christian faith, isn't it? Receiving the gospel, hearing the gospel, and resting in that promise, that's Mary. She trusts God's word, and she's overflowing with joy. Listen, because you and I are humans, and because Mary was a human, we know and we can understand that when you're overflowing with joy, like, you want to go tell somebody, right? Like, that's a very human thing to do. I'm joyful, so I'm going to tell my friend, my family. That's exactly what Mary does. In fact, you might know the story. Mary, she visits her cousin Elizabeth, who's also overflowing with joy. Elizabeth has been barren for years. And because you and I are human, we can feel her pain, the longing for a child, the discouragement of barrenness, the pain and really the doubts. And again, because we're human, we can feel her pain. And yet, because we're human, we can feel her joy when we find out that Elizabeth, this barren woman, she's pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant with a baby called John, John the Baptist. And so there's this great scene in Luke's gospel that when pregnant Mary visits pregnant Elizabeth, do you know what happens? John is in the womb and he is leaping for joy. From the womb, John the Baptist is joyfully preparing the way. He's joyfully pointing to the person of Christmas. He's an Advent calendar made flesh. And yet Matthew 11 sounds so, so different, doesn't it? John is not in the womb. He's in jail. John is not leaping for joy. He's questioning Christmas. Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for another? And perhaps you can relate to John the Baptist. Maybe at one point in your life, you found yourself very zealous for the Jesus of Christmas. But somewhere along in life, you stopped believing. Maybe you moved to London and you just kind of just started to slowly drift. Your schedule got full, your social life changed. Maybe you came to London and you had all these dreams and expectations of living the big city life. And you come to the big city and the big city just crushes your dreams, crushes your expectations. And maybe for you, somewhere along the way, life started to feel like you were in a jail cell. Suffering and sorrows and pains. And at some point in your life, you answered John's question for yourself. No. Jesus, you're not the one. You're not the one who gives hope. I mean, how can I believe in a God who allows me to be in a jail cell? And so maybe you're here and you know I'm not a Christian. You might be spiritual. Maybe you meditate, but you wouldn't call yourself a follower of the Lord Jesus. And friend, wherever you're at this morning, can I just show you why Jesus is actually the one? He's actually the one who can give you hope. Look at verse 2. John hears about the deeds of Christ, and that's why he questions, are you the one? Here's what's happening. There was an Old Testament prophet called Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 35, this is what the prophet says. He says that when the Messiah comes, when this coming one arrives, here's what's going to happen. The blind will receive sight, the lame will walk, the lepers will be cleansed, and judgment will come on those who oppose God's people. This coming one of Isaiah 35, this is one who brings judgment and blessing. And so you can imagine John the Baptist. He knows the story of the Old Testament. He's doing some reflecting and he's thinking, well, I'm hearing about the deeds of Christ, but I'm still in jail. Judgment for Herod has not come. In fact, you might know what happens to John the Baptist. Later today or later this week, you can actually go to the National Portrait Gallery and you can go see the Caravaggio painting of John's fate. He gets his head chopped off. So here's John in jail. He knows the Old Testament story. He knows the prophecy of Isaiah. He's hearing about the joy of Christmas. And he's asking the question, what about me? Are you the one who is to come? I'm still in jail, Jesus. Are you the one who is to come? Or should I look for another? And maybe that's you this Christmas season. Maybe you're hearing about the joys of other people. The joys of tables with no empty seats. The joys of families that get along, or friends getting promotions, friends getting engaged, relationships going well, life is going well, and you're hearing about it, and that's not your Christmas. You're discouraged. You're grieving. You're getting rejected. You're addicted to something. You're longing for something that can never be met by just vague spiritual meditation. And listen, maybe you've even prayed. But life still feels like a jail cell. And so you find yourself asking the question, Jesus, are you the one? And if that's you, then you can relate to John. John is saying, you're like, I expected you to bring judgment now. Like, that's what Isaiah said, that you would bring judgment. But I'm still in jail, so where's the hope that comes from the Christ of Christmas? Are you the one who is to come? Are you the person of Christmas? Where's the hope? And Jesus gives us the hope right there in verse 4. Do you see that right there in verse 4? That listen, Jesus' word enters into John's jail cell. Verse 4, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Good news is preached. I'm fulfilling the role of the Messiah. And blessed is the one who is not offended. Christian friend, we need to realize that we sometimes get offended by God when God doesn't meet our expectations. You and I, we get offended. See, Christmas is all about this message. We sing about it, right? Joy to the world, peace on earth, blessings flowing. But what happens when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, it's cancer? What happens when your applications get rejected? What happens when your dreams are crushed? What happens when you find yourself enslaved to some sort of sin and you start asking the question, Jesus, are you the one? Why aren't you bringing blessings now? Why aren't you doing anything in my life? An unbelieving friend, those of you who know you're not Christians, you get offended by Jesus. See, Jesus, throughout the Bible, he makes these really, really big claims that should affect your life. The Lord says, the life that you're longing for, the hunger that you have, that hole that you have in your heart, the life that you're longing for, it's only found in Jesus. The forgiveness of sins that you need, it's only found in Jesus, and that offends you. Because my friends, it's a lot easier to have Jesus just as a Christmas figure, but here, the Jesus in verse 11, this is the Jesus of the Bible. This is the Jesus that calls you to belief in him, to repent of your sins and to trust in him, and you get offended. So Christian friend, you get offended. Unbelieving friend, you get offended. And that's the problem of the human heart. That we want a Jesus that we say, Jesus, if you're truly God, then you will fill in the blank. If you're truly God, you will bring blessing now. If you're truly God, you wouldn't talk about judgment. We want a God who meets our expectations. And yet, my friends, the Jesus of Christmas shatters all expectations. And here's how. Jesus says to John, John, judgment is coming. I will come as a warrior to judge the nations, but right now, in my first advent, in my first coming, I have come with grace, for all who trust in me, for all who repent of their sins and put their faith in me. I have come for sinners, even for sinners like Herod. Christmas says that before Jesus comes as a judge, he comes, friends, as a little baby to bring salvation. And that's not what John expected. It's not what you and I expect. You know, we want peace on earth now. We want blessings to flow now, and God says it's coming. Peace on earth is coming. Joy to the world, it's coming. But right now, we need to learn from Mary. We need to receive his word. We need to receive his promise, and we need to trust in his word. We need to trust his promise. And here's what makes the Christian faith so compelling. In this passage, in Matthew 11, Jesus' word enters John's jail cell. Go and tell John. The word of Christ comes into the jail cell, and my friends, what happens on Christmas Day? The word eternal, very God of very God, light of light, that word that we read about in the John passage, that word becomes flesh. That word enters into your life and into in my life. The world that is broken, you might even put it like this, the word enters into the jail cell, into the real world, and he becomes one of us. This is the mystery of our faith, my friends, that on Christmas Day, that the God who is surrounded by angels was swaddled and born in a manger. On Christmas Day, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, becomes this tiny dependent baby. For what purpose? To enter into our jail cell. To enter into our real world. And to give us hope. This is the message of Christmas, isn't it? That Jesus comes to taste our sadness. Such a beautiful line from the carols that we sing. That Jesus, he knows the miseries of life. He knows the challenges of life. That the Christmas faith, the Christian faith says that the one who will judge the world, because the Bible is very clear that the Lord will come to judge the living and the dead. But the one who will come to judge the world, before he does that, he came into the world to be judged. To take your sin, if your faith is in the Lord Jesus. And this is the hope of Christmas, that all who trust in this Christ can have forgiveness of sins, and yet there's something even greater than that. As great as that is, Christians are given this promise that Jesus will come again and he will set us free from the broken world. He will make all things new. He will come to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. And here's the word of the Lord Jesus for us for this Christmas. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one who believes in me and is not offended. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this passage. Lord, we know that many of us are here, and maybe the Christmas season is challenging. A lot of things on our mind, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. And maybe there are some here this morning that don't know you and are considering the claims of the Lord Jesus and want to know more about the Christian faith. Father, wherever we find ourselves, we pray that your word would come into our lives, that the message of the gospel, the message of God made man to live for us and ultimately to die and resurrect for us, to forgive our sins, that message would come into our hearts and completely transform us. And so we pray, O Lord, trusting that you are sovereign, trusting that you are good, and we pray that you would meet us this Christmas season. And all this we ask in your name. Amen.